PFT Media.
This is The Experience with Chris Fio. In each episode, Fio brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
In this episode, Melissa Fox, a radio personality for over 30 years, talks about her experiences in broadcast and her experiences with 9/11.
Gun in a holster, that vision is slipping like a worn transmission. The days of transporting and not transmitting, cause the transcontinental flow got me transient. I ain't transcribed the transcript, I fell in a trance and let the translation.
I'm here with Melissa Fox. So how has your day been so far?
It's long. Every day is long. It starts at 3 in the morning and it's in the afternoon, I think, now. So it's been long. Did I mention it's long?
How long is that long?
You know, I lost track at 3 a.m. I get up at zero dark 30 and yeah, I go to bed and it's dark out and I don't know.
My days run together so far.
They really do. I work in 24-hour periods. That's how you have to do it when you do a lot of radio like I do.
Really?
Yeah, you get 4 hours off here, 6 hours off there, and that's how you look at it. You don't go, it's Tuesday and tomorrow's Wednesday. You go, no, I've got 6 hours until I work again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty busy.
And that's about right.
So take me at 300.
Okay, right. 0300, it's me. It's me and my dogs. It's me and my dogs creeping around my house, trying to be quiet, and at the same time, trying to catch up on all the news that happened from, say, 4 o'clock the day before up until, you know, like 12 hours later. So in preparation for a very micromanaged radio show that's very fast-paced. See, so that's how my day starts. Cup of coffee, a handful of vitamins, and all kinds of medication because I'm getting old, and that's like the regime now. And then poop in the car and out the door before 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what is the radio show that you do, the quick fire one?
I work on Good Morning Orlando, which has actually been on the radio on 540 AM and God knows what FM frequency. This will make sense later. And it's called Good Morning Orlando with Bud Hedinger, who used to be a TV talent here in town, and then he moved over to the radio. But he still thinks he's a TV talent, which is, he pulls that card. I'm a TV guy. I'm like, no, you've been a radio guy for 17 years, but that's okay. You can pull the radio. I don't know. But anyway, so that's the show I do is called Good Morning Orlando, and I'm what they call the call screener plus, because I actually have an opinion. Which most call screeners are like, oh, we just want to get into radio. Well, I've been in radio, I've been spit out of radio, and now I'm back into radio. So call screener was just like, let's just name it something and put Melissa there, and it'll work out just great. And it has been. Aside from the fact that it's extremely conservative radio, and I'm a Howard Stern girl,
yeah,
anybody that knows my background, which we may get into, we may not, it's Chris's show.
We definitely will.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a twist. But it's also like the progression of how radio goes. Because when I started out, I worked in top 40 radio, you know, hits for the kids. Then I worked my way into rock radio, right? And then next thing you know, it was adult hits. And then slowly I moved into the magic soft rock hits. And next thing you know, I was doing traffic. I'm like, wait, what? There's trucks and cars on I-4. It's a cluster. And that's my life.
Amazing how that transition happened.
To radio progression. So then I went to Hot Talk, you know, like Howard Stern, as I was saying. And now I'm in the conservative old fart radio. So good times.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what goes on at 0400?
Oh, at 0400, I get into the studio. And then I have to create news for Tallahassee because I actually do a lot of different things. Oh, yes, call screener. That's the title, but that's not what I do. That's just a small portion. I have to actually create news for Tallahassee for another conservative iHeartRadio station up there. Now, the thing is with Tallahassee, nothing goes on. Not a damn thing. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, they've had 8 people dead from gunshots since the beginning of the year. Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Wow.
Nothing happens in Tallahassee. But according to that micromanaging news-wanting radio station that I work for, all kinds of things happen, and I should be able to create it. So every morning it's trying to hunt to find about 6 minutes of news for the first hour or so that I'm in. Again, only Tallahassee, but not government DeSantis, no. No, not Tallahassee, the capital news. Tallahassee, the crappy little city news.
Oh.
It's a college town, by the way, in case you didn't know. So FSU, when they all go away for the summer, really nothing happens.
It's just the tumbleweed comes down the road.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's my first part of my morning at work. And then at a certain point, then I have to actually put on my Good Morning Orlando hat. And then it's, Melissa, do you have a minute to research something? Melissa, did you do this? Melissa, make copies. And I don't care, because frankly, at this point, I still haven't really finished Tallahassee, but I'm like doing anything to avoid trying to find what news is going on in Tallahassee. I'm like, sure, I'll make copies. Hoping that something might generate in the meantime. Never does. And then around 5 minutes till six, after I've recorded these newscasts that I've totally fabricated for Tallahassee.
Amazing.
Then the show starts at 6 a.m. and it's fast-paced, couple of minute segments, 2 minute commercial break, couple of minute segments, and it just goes until 9 o'clock. And then I'm like, it's over. Make a podcast. Go home.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So the podcast comes right after 9.
Oh yeah, as soon as the show is done, literally I just cut out all the commercials and package the 3 hours that we just did and boop up on the internet and
oh wow,
glory.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool.
So that's part of my call screening job.
Creating podcasts,
yes,
for your own.
Yeah.
And then you get rest time, break.
No. Then I go home, and my partner and I have a business where we transcribe, translate, and then revoice in Spanish sporting events from around the world. So, yes, oh, you didn't know that.
That is so cool.
It's called Nunez Productions. And my part is, it's very minuscule. I have to watch judo events from around the world and then transcribe it, write down everything that happens word for word. Okay, so I'm listening to a guy with a New Zealand accent yell out, "Oh, Soto Gari!" and things like that. And then trying to figure out not only if I've got the right terminology for what just happened on the video in front of me. Is that a sleeve with a foot sweep, pull, and a grip with a twist? Or is that a big, large, outer reaping sweep with a hip throw? It's amazingly boring. And yeah, it takes me hours to do like a 1 hour show. Sometimes it'll take up to 4 hours because of not only all the Russian and Romanian names and such and Mongolian names, which I have to then figure out how to spell and then put pronunciation for my voice guy. But then he has to take all that script that I've written, translate it into Spanish and make sense of it, which it doesn't always make sense. You know?
That sounds insane.
And then revoice it and call some of the matches too. Like, I don't write everything. During the match, he knows a lot of the sports. Our guys, they know it. And so they'll come in and they call it themselves. And then we package the whole thing back together and turn it around, throw it up in space, the internet.
Yeah.
And that's my day until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At which point, then, it's time to feed people, and next thing you know, it's time to go to bed. So,
oh, wow.
That's my day.
Well, so I'm taking up your bedtime.
No, I'm all right. I tried to take a nap earlier, didn't happen. But,
well, I'm so sorry.
So we're golden.
That.
So we've got like another hour, and then my clock, my watch might actually go off and go to bed. At which point, I'll just crash right here on the couch, and it'll be good.
Yes, because we're in one of the many fine rooms at the Mills Art Gallery.
And love this.
It's fairly nice. We're sitting on a nice sectional couch that I might actually want in my home.
I was
going
to say, I could nap here very easily.
As you mentioned, you were on the Howard Stern Show. Yes, I want to talk about that. That's awesome to me. Name me some of your highlight experiences on that show so far.
Well, okay, let me clarify so that you don't get too overexcited and Howard doesn't beat me with a lawsuit. I was what we call a local producer, okay? So I worked here in Orlando, there in New York.
Oh,
all right, so
okay.
We communicate back and forth through telephone line and whatnot, down what they call the back line. But I ran the show here in Orlando, and the 20-minute commercial breaks that Howard used to take during the radio show, because he did, he'd go and go and go and go for like an hour without a break, and then he'd be like, oh, got to pay the bills. And then we'd do a 20-minute commercial break, of which maybe the Orlando radio station would have 4 minutes of actual commercials. So the rest of that was me going, everything from the lame joke of the day to the news thing with Melissa Fox, anything and everything I could find to fill literally 20 minutes. And during that 20 minutes, most people seem to be taking that ride down I-4 to work. So a lot of people never even heard Stern Show. All they heard was the Fox. I didn't even know. I just thought it was Melissa in the morning.
So so people were not even aware.
Right. They turn it on to real radio, 104.1, and I'd be there for the entire drive. You know, like I said, 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm pretty much Longwood to downtown. And you wouldn't hear any Howard because he had talked until 7:30, and by 7:30 he's in commercials, and then I'm going to almost 8 o'clock, which is a normal ride downtown.
So everybody's pretty much just Melissa.
Yeah, so I got a really nice feature time several times during the show, and I would say you asked me one of my most memorable experiences, one of those weird memories. Okay, would say 8:40 in the morning, a certain morning. September, maybe 1st it was, 2001. Now, as you recall, I mentioned there's a back line. Now, Howard is doing his thing. It's actually a really weird interview going on. I forget exactly who it was, but it wasn't a comfortable interview. Even Robin was a little uncomfortable with the content that was going on during the Stern Show. Now, I had a delay. So the delay that I heard everything about 2 minutes before it went out onto the actual radio. Okay. So 2 minutes before everybody in Orlando, I heard about the first plane hitting the towers. I go out into the newsroom, because at that time we had a full Florida News Network, 8 or 9 guys out there putting it all together. I walk out into the newsroom, which I still work in today, and I said, you might want to look on the TV. I heard a plane hit one of the World Trade Center towers. To which one of the sports guys looks at me and goes, Melissa, would you please get back in the foxhole? Just come on, we don't have time for your shenanigans. Okay, so I walk back in the other room. 2 minutes later, holy crap, outside in the newsroom, and everything goes to fluff. I'm like, hey, guys, try to tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's one of my most interesting memories, is the whole September 11th taking place and hearing it 2 minutes ahead of everybody else in town. Hearing all the confusion, hearing phone calls that they didn't put on the air from people who were at Ground Zero. Wow. So, pretty deep stuff, right?
Very deep.
Thought I was going to talk about girls getting bologna thrown at their ass, right? Ping pong balls out of the coochies. No, I had to take you right to 9/11.
Wow, that I actually was very enwrapped in that story. That's a very interesting thing. That's something... That's something you'll never forget.
Take it back for another radio story.
We'll go back for another one.
Go back a few years before Saturday night, and I'm on the radio, and the news comes down what they call a 10 bell. Now, they don't do that anymore. A 10 bell is what used to be when the news, when it was really important, somebody died, and the newsroom would have a machine that rang 10 bells. It was like, hey, this is important. And I got to announce that Princess Diana had died.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just seem to be in places when bad stuff happens. Hey, you tell them. Open the mic. You tell them. I'm not going to tell them. You tell them. Oh, Melissa will do it.
How unfortunate.
Right.
The bearer of the biggest bad news ever.
Right. Hey, this just in. So, yeah, pretty crazy stuff, right?
That is very crazy. Yeah. I mean,
especially since I'm not the one that anyone would consider like a credible news person, because most of my news stories are maybe all about dick jokes and boobies and farts. You know, good news, right? So, yeah, people are like, oh, Melissa, go back into your booth and do your thing. Just go.
Right, but they didn't really, you know.
Now everybody remembers the first time that they heard it. At least those people, that 8 people in that newsroom, were like, damn, Melissa came out and we shoot her away.
And so, then we've sure had
and
it
And then
on our
the
face.
Crap hit the big old fanola, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And we'll go into the 9/11. How did you feel first hearing that before everyone else? What was the first feeling you were hit with?
It was surreal because, I heard phone calls that did not get on the air of people screaming and describing the devastation and the confusion that was going on. And with regard to 9/11, I had some friends who were videographers who never were recovered from the scene, who worked for a couple of news agencies in New York. So it hits home pretty hard. But just hearing that news and trying to keep everybody around me calm once they realized that I wasn't, you know, BSing. And then fielding phone calls as well as trying to... Howard stayed on the air till after 12 o'clock that day. Okay, so he stayed on 3 more hours than we anticipated. So not only was I doing a scramble to keep everything hot and fresh on the radio, answer the phone calls from people coming on, what the hell is happening? Is it, you know, because panic really did ensue here. But then I also had to keep, you know, the radio part, the business part of it up, and oh my God, we got to reschedule this, we got to move this, we got to change satellite frequencies because things, you know, things are set to do a certain thing at certain times, and Howard's like, I'm going to keep going. And we're like, you keep going. Wow. Because you're there, you know? I mean, that was the best part about having Stern on here in Orlando, because 9/11, you couldn't have been any closer than having them right there at K-Rock, you know?
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if cool is the right word. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, we'll
awesome.
Use it. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, 9/11. Well, our heart goes out to those people that day. That was tragic. And
yeah.
I couldn't forget that day ever. I mean, that was quite a day. Seeing my mom running around and just hollering her head off. It was,
yeah. After I finally left work, too, I drove I-4, and literally we talked about Ghost Town and Tumbleweeds in Tallahassee. There was nobody on the highway. Nobody. It was the weirdest thing. I left. I was just about in straight noon when I left, when he went off the air. And I'm driving. I'm listening to everything. And they suspended all the tolls and all that so people could get to their loved ones, which was an awesome idea. But literally, it was tumbleweeds coming across I-4. I was like, oh, my God, there's nobody on the road. And that'll panic you all in itself, you know, because you're here. I've been in a radio station. It's a very sterile environment. And I went out into the real world after this event, this horrible event, and there's nobody. There's no planes. Or seemed like there's no birds. There's nobody. I'm like, this is Twilight Zone. I know this. I said, wait for Rod Serling to come out. Typical girl, radio girl. You know, but anyway.
Melissa Fox has now stepped into the Twilight
Zone. It felt like it. It really did. It was surreal.
That is amazing. I would never expect you to have gone through something like that.
Yeah.
Your
again,
attitude.
You thought baloney and butts.
I know.
Maybe your Howard Stern experience. Oh, this is going to be great.
Yoo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
That was not. No, really, that was the biggest one. And, of course, I can tell you the one thing that killed my career.
Yeah?
Janet Jackson's titty.
Oh, wow. How did it do that?
Well, it was all at the same time that the FCC was investigating and fining the hell out of Howard Stern for, you know, because people are idiots and they don't like a good thing. And Janet Jackson, the boob came out in the middle of the Super Bowl, and then I got a phone call literally in the middle of the third quarter of the game after Janet and Justin and the whole fiasco saying, yeah, they pulled Stern off the air. So you can do your little song and dance for a minute, but yeah, we're not, yeah, good luck.
Wow.
Yeah. So that would all came down at the same time. So yeah, I blame Janet Jackson's titty on me losing one of my best gigs ever.
Freaking Justin and Janet.
I know, right? Wardrobe malfunction, my ass.
I know, full blown.
Nasty areola, too. Oh, just looked painful.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Purple nurple. Okay, so.
Well, and what about the Princess Diana story? How did that come about?
That came across, as I said, 10 bells. That came across the newswire. The internet was only in its infancy at that point. You see, Al Gore hadn't really... No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it was still, you know, we were using it, but it wasn't at its full potential at that point. So when I got the note, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who said, hey, the French press is doing this. Because even though I call myself not a credible news person, I have contacts in the BBC and all over the place.
Yeah.
I really am. Shh, don't tell. It'll ruin the whole fart jokes thing.
Secret
but secret. Yes, they call me and say, hey, French press is reporting that there's been a huge... you know, crash in the tunnels, and they believe it's Princess Diana. And I'm like, well, I can't run with they believe. I mean, I could, but, you know, that'd be really crappy, especially since I was working at a rock station at the time. So I was like, I better wait and make sure it's official. And then maybe 15 minutes later, it came down. It was official. It wasn't just a crash, but she was confirmed that she had died. And so then I potted out there then, and I here I'm at the rock station at this point. Again, my progression, I was in rock at that point. And people started calling in. They're like, Diana, you know, she was hot. I'm like, yeah, that's a good takeaway. but
oh,
yeah, it actually blew up on the rock station too. People actually cared, so it was kind of weird.
That is actually interesting. Like, what? Why would you say they really were so invested in this person?
I don't know. I guess because, well, maybe just the time frame, the age group of the people that were, you know, the major listeners all grew up with Diana. And I mean, she was everywhere through the 80s and 90s, You know, this was, I mean, you couldn't get away from the Diana haircut, just following her around, her little bathing suit, you know, pictures of her on yachts. She was everywhere. So she was like our own little, our princess. So when she died, it was like big deal.
That is crazy.
And she left behind that ginger and the little boy. It's so sad.
I know. And now, is who are they're princes now.
Princes then, too. Yes, oh, Harry. Yeah.
They're still the
Will's.
Princes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That whole thing.
Married kids. It's crazy. Yeah.
How did you get your start in radio?
Okay, long story short, I started in radio in college, but I actually started in a newspaper family.
Really? What newspaper family you were with?
Well, I'm from an island, a very small island called Nantucket. It's off of the Cape in Massachusetts. My family owned the island newspaper for many, many years, and my dad sold it and then became just the editor of it because it was a pain in the ass to be a business manager and be the newspaper guy. So I grew up with news ink in my veins, literally. I was underneath the desks and the linotypes and all the old printing stuff when I was just an infant, which also caused a lot of hearing problems. Thanks a lot, Pops. Oh. Yeah, put me back with the press. That's a great sound for a child. I sleep really good in loud noises, though, now.
Training. But,
so I started out there, went to worked at a cable TV station as the editor. Like, I did all the switchers and all that, you know, take camera one, take camera two through high school. Only because I had a crush on this guy, and he was doing it. So I was like, why not? He went on to he's still doing video for millions of movies, all kinds of stuff. But me, I couldn't go that path. I was like, I used to watch the old late night shows, and I thought about being on TV, and I really wanted to be a camera operator. And I saw that most of the people that, like, if you watch late night, you'd see occasionally they pan out and they'd show one of the camera operators, and he was like 1,000 years old. And I'm like, I'm never gonna get that job. Someone's gonna have to die. So I looked at it. It was a good thought too, because I was right. These people, those guys, they get the jobs and they hang on to it, and very union oriented. And they're like, well, you could be a gripper or best girl. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's someone that tapes things down. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm good. I'll pass.
Yeah, no.
I thought best girl sounded like a good job, but then I was like, maybe that's just a pimp label, too. That's my best girl. I wasn't really sure, but I didn't want to go that way. So I went to college. I went to a college that actually had a TV and multimedia track. At the time, that was very rare. It was always journalism and communications. I wanted to learn TV and radio. Found a very small school, liberal arts school in West Virginia, and I went there. Yeah, most people think I went to a college in Massachusetts called Salem State, but no, I went to a little teeny college called Salem University in West by God, Virginia. And when I got there, I opened my mouth, and they were like, you have a voice for radio. And I was like, no, really, I have a face for print. And they went, what? And I said, no, it's a joke, forget it. So they put me on the radio as a freshman. It took me, which was unbelievable, because only juniors and seniors were allowed to be on the radio. But apparently I was just quirky enough. And the rest, my friend, is kismet from 1981. Yeah, now I'm older than I look, or maybe I'm just being nice.
Oh, I'm older than...
No, I was really... I went to college when I was 16 also, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
I graduated from high school. I'm obnoxious. The kid, and on an island. So they were like, give the girl a challenge. And they kept pushing me ahead. And finally, 2 grades ahead. And I graduated when I was 15 and a half. So
that is really...
stupid.
Cool.
Stupid.
Actually, really? Why?
Stupid. Because I almost had to go to college. There was no way that I could just have been spit out into the world at 15 and a half. And going, okay, get a job. Have a family. Good luck.
Well, yeah, you're right from that perspective.
Yeah, it was way... Even when I was 17, 18, and I was then, by that point, almost a junior in college, I was still too immature, really, to be out in the workforce for real. I mean, I've been working since I was 12, don't get me wrong. But to handle the actual business world, I think I needed a little bit more time. So, yeah, graduating early was kind of like... I don't think it was a benefit. I don't think it was a bad thing. It just was kind of like... Shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have just, you know, I shouldn't have been pushed ahead. But then again, I was obnoxious, and eventually they were going to kill me. So they were like, get rid of her.
Oh, gosh. That's extreme.
Well, think about it. When you've got someone who's really, I've got a really bad ADHD, okay, which is why you'll have to keep me on track here in case you didn't notice. And so with ADHD often comes pretty smart person, okay? So what happened is I'm really smart. I answer all the questions ahead of everybody else, and then I get bored. So, and I'm describing six-year-old Melissa, who then would go around and go, hey, what you doing? Hey, what you doing? What are you doing? Can I help you? It's a little obnoxious.
Yeah, so they just had a hard time.
Yeah, so like give her a challenge, which I kept meeting. Every challenge, I'm like, got it, next. And they're like, oh, God, push her into, this is first grade I'm talking. Then they pushed me into second while still in the first year. And by the end of second, they're like, okay, we'll put her in third grade. So yeah, I'm 6 years old now and I'm third grade, you know.
Wow.
Not good. It just, no. It wasn't a smart move, but their hands were tied. And then, like I said, they probably would have killed me.
Wow, that is really crazy. So you would you say you were had a savant, or you were savant?
No, just attention deficit hyperactivity disorder lends itself to most. You know, a lot of criminals have ADHD. Very really? Smart, very idle mind.
Yeah,
bad things happen. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I can tell you still to this day, if I walk past, I'm in a grocery store. There's a cart. Someone's purse is there. The lady's all the way over here. First thing comes to my mind is, should have left that purse by itself. Why? Why, Chris? Why does that happen? Because that's how that mind works. Because there's too much idle hands, devil's workplace, you know?
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah. So. My parents have told me that, you know, idle hands mean, you know, equals bad times.
Yeah. And there's an awful lot of people, especially in entertainment, who are either one, bipolar, which is not a great combination, or have ADHD or ADD, which is a great combination. Robin Williams, kinetic kind of humor, that stream of consciousness. Ellen, perhaps, might even have a little bit of that. But you see it going on. It's rampant. It's called channeling all that. And being able to make something out of it. So that's what I do.
It's a practice, would you say?
it's a practice in patience for everybody else but me. Yeah, like, oh, God.
Would you say it has benefited you doing what you've done so far?
I'd say it hasn't hurt. I can't say that it's helped me sometimes, especially having a mental health issue. It's treatable. It was treatable for a long time. Like, I was a Ritalin kid, a lot of Ritalin. And then when I went to college at 16, I'd always been told I'd grow out of it at puberty. Yeah. So either puberty never hit Chris, or I didn't grow out of it.
Maybe certain things, you know, that happens to hard.
Yeah, so years of self-medication. And then I realized maybe I should be on whatever I was supposed to be on when I was a kid. And I went back on to what is now Adderall. That was for about 10, 15 years. And then, of course, that screwed up my heart. So now I can't be on that medication, but I sure as heck can take some heart pills. So, again, we've got unmedicated Melissa.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it should be fun. My 30s were great. My 20s, and that's weird and probably don't remember a lot. The 30s, I was medicated. So
everything was clear.
Yeah. It was actually pretty crazy because I was doing Howard Stern when I quit smoking cigarettes, and they put me on a Wellbutrin, which is one of the medicines they also use for ADHD.
Yeah.
And when I came off the 30 days and no more smoking, and I was like, oh, I'm having anxiety attacks. What's the deal? So they said, maybe you should go and see a psychiatrist. I was like, hey, there's an idea. And sure enough, they were like, you know, you really should be on medication. And so I tried it, and then my boss, everybody, was like, you know, after a couple of weeks, you're like, wow, you really a lot more organized. Like, what are you saying? Don't explain.
Oh, gosh.
Just don't.
Yeah. Just we like the way you are.
Yeah, just keep whatever you're doing. Like, you're onto something, Melissa. So,
well, that's good. You had a source of encouragement and, you know, support for your own mental health.
Yes, thankfully. And unthankfully, they didn't tell me earlier, hey, you know, you might want to get this. Wow.
You know, sometimes it might be hard to tell somebody, you know, like they may need help because, you know, it's you're questioning their mind. And, you know, would you say it was hard for people to be around you, or like, are you just making jokes?
I am good. You know, even now, Chris, I'm good in small doses. Like, if you had to hang out with me all the time, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to kill her. But small doses, good times. Yeah. And that's the way I like it. That was always my news thing rule, too, was in, out, nobody gets hurt. Say your piece and then be about your day, because otherwise, yeah, it'll get bad. So.
Really? So so you're more like, you know, an introvert, extrovert, or extrovert, introvert?
It really depends. When I'm in a, you know, when I've got my headphones on, a microphone in my hand, I'm extremely extroverted. In social settings, I can be very quiet, or I can turn it on. And a lot of times I have to turn it on for events and things, because really I am a very quiet, reclusive person, and I prefer to sit home with my animals. But damn, what do you want this party to do, right? I got to let it out. Even the girlfriend said, because I took a break for like 10 years after the Howard Stern, and, you know, Janet Jackson titty thing. I went and just, we just did the Spanish project I talked about. And she was like, man, you really need to get back on the radio, because I can't handle your, you need an outlet. You know, because I see things and I hear things, and the mind's like spinning, and I can't just, there's no outlet.
Yeah, there's
without
no
radio. Yeah. And even now, I don't have all the outlet I need, so they've given me a podcast that's on iHeartRadio. It's called News, The News Thing with Melissa Fox, where I deal with lower-hanging fruit that's not accessible. Well, it's accessible, but it's a no-no. No. You want to hear a funny story about that?
Yeah.
When I first auditioned for this show, Good Morning Orlando, I tried out for the news anchor part, which I do occasionally. Again, I fill in a lot of different hats. I produce the show sometimes, and I also fill in as the news co-host. So when I was trying out for that job, I was told, you know, there's a certain segment within the straight news that we do stuff to, that's kind of like the news thing that you did during Howard Stern. I was like, okay. That was not right. It was not right, Chris. It wasn't right. So I picked this one story about, well, there was two stories, but the first one started about a lady who was in line at a Dollar General store. Now, keep in mind, I told you about Bud. He's an older man. He's television guy. He's been doing the radio thing for 17 years. He's very old school. He's got that huge balls announcer voice, you know, kind of a thing. He's a news guy. And he can get really deep into the gutter and throw the emotions. So here I am. I'm telling the straight news about this and that and the National Front and the little crap stuff that's going on in Orlando. And then I talk about this lady who's in line at the Dollar General store, and apparently she broke wind. When I use the word fart, and he goes, can't we have a better word than that? And I'm like, okay, I'm tooted. And anyway, so I'm like telling the story, but he's already a little blustered and flustered. I've used the word fart. Not good, not good. Well, apparently this lady who did fart in line, it was visibly and, audibly, you could hear this guy behind her was like, hey, excuse me. And she turned around, grabbed into her purse and had a knife and said, I will cut you. He did not like the story. So then I was like, okay. And I went into my next story. And the next story was about this new fad that they were talking about on Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Sandra Bullock's doing it, all the girls are doing it. And it involves the foreskin of a Korean baby boy being ground down into a paste and then put on the face to tighten skin.
Wow.
Yeah. Let me talk about some deep doo-doo. You need to grow up.
My gosh.
Our listeners expect a certain... So anyway, you can check out the podcast, The News Thing with Melissa Fox, where the low-hanging fruit is focused on. It was their mistake to tell me that I should do stuff like The News Thing during Howard Stern. Apparently, they did not listen to the quality of the stories that I had. Most all of them were penis lopping off or this or that crazy, you know, the Florida man stories.
Yeah.
But the even further Florida man stories, you know, man with a horse, Florida man with a whatever.
That guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was their mistake, not mine. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't get that job, but I get to fill in every once in a while. So, funny story?
That is a very funny story. And you also do the Connections Network.
Connection Show. Yeah, Connections runs on Thursday nights on iHeart, and all the time we have a 24-hour internet radio. I think everybody does. Yeah. And Connections is a relationship radio show that I took over. It was actually something else, a little more kinkier, and I took it over a couple of years back and brought in my crew. We changed it over to Connections, And it was doing really well for a long time when I had time to focus, because it was on 10 to midnight, Monday through Friday. And we were on in Gainesville and Tampa and several other radio stations. For no money, I might add. No money.
Oh, man.
That sucks. But when I got the job and the first thing in the morning, got to get up at 3, can't do a radio show. No money. From 10 to midnight. Just, it's not conducive to my health. And not good for my rage either. So now we do it just one night a week. We broadcast it live on Facebook, and then it plays back on Thursday nights on iHeart. And they've also given us a podcast channel, too. So
that's really swell.
Yes, so you can find Connections Show on iHeart as well.
Yes, I was on the Connections Network as well.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
That was actually a good episode.
I agree.
Very well received.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed myself on there, and you have such a nice home and a beautiful setup there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you also play music, from what I noticed.
Everything but the skin flute, Chris.
Yeah?
Once again, the low-hanging fruit. Why? Why dangle that? Anyway, yeah, I'm a jack of all trades. I can pick up most any instrument and play something on it. Sure. I played saxophone forever. I haven't picked that up in years, but I'm sure if I picked it up right now, I could still fiddle you out of tune. I, like you, played the ukulele. It was the first real instrument that I learned how to play. My grandfather gave me one when I was like 10.
Wow.
And I immediately figured out how to work it. My grandfather, might have add, was a concert pianist. Music runs in my family. Communications and media runs in my family as well. So I'm still just riding that plane, you know, just taking it right down.
That's really cool. Yeah. You recording any music of your own?
Hell no. You won't catch no. No. No, my wife is a real musician. She's the national performer, not me. She writes and performs all her own music. She's had many bands, plays without band, on her own. I manage. That's what I ended up doing. Because when I went to college initially, truth be told, it was supposed to be a music scholarship.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I found out real quickly that I wasn't that good. I also found out real quickly that there are only two things you can really do with a music degree, and that's either become a teacher or hope that you become one of the very few. It's like becoming a professional athlete. You know, very few make it. Everyone's a hack, and only a very, very cream up the top make it. So I said, you know what? I'd rather play other people's music and talk about it. And that's how I ended up in radio for real.
Wow. Okay. So is this it's a career decision then?
Mm-hmm.
Smart career decision.
Yeah.
Actually.
No, I mean, I was sitting there with learning classical guitar and I thought, this isn't going to happen. My hand's not wide enough. My talent's not big enough. Yeah. Not going to happen. So.
Yeah, classical guitar is such a difficult thing.
Even just the headstock on the guitar, it was just too wide. My hands aren't that big, and I couldn't really, I haven't had enough time with just a regular six string, let alone using a classical with that wide.
I know.
So, but yeah, I made a good effort. I tried for the first year, and then I was like, I'm switching over. But all along, as I told you earlier, I went to a liberal arts school that had TV and radio. So I kind of knew. You know, and I'd already been in the newspaper, I'd already done the cable TV thing in high school. So I was just like, just in case. And sure enough, it seemed to work out all right.
That actually is really awesome. I would never have thought that before. I thought you were just straight up radio, that's what you want to do.
No, but really quickly I realized that it was easier to play other people's music and talk about, hey, here's another song for a friend of mine. A lot easier, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So what was the first radio station you had your start in?
I worked at a college radio station. The call letters were WITB, which stood for We're in the Basement. But at that point, they were on the third floor, so I was a little confused. Apparently, when it was first established, they were in the basement, but not so much. Yeah, it was an FM station in the middle of Podunk, West Virginia. Yeah, but because we were in the mountains of West Virginia, we actually had people who listened to the station because, you know, the time, there wasn't the internet at the time. TV station still went off the air at midnight, you know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's before my birth.
Though. Yeah, they put up they played the Star Spangled Banner and they put up a test pattern and they go, boo. That was it.
Oh, wow.
Until regular broadcasting day began.
That is insane.
So, yeah, and I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Again, I've always been a morning person. Even in college, I did something called the Caffeine Cafe.
Really?
And I would have to walk up a mountain, again, West Virginia, walk up the side of a mountain and turn the transmitter on, and then walk back down again, and sometimes in snow, and then go ahead and start the radio show.
Wow, you were the person who turned the transmission on, too.
Mm, yeah, turned the transmitter on. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you must have... How was the way there, walking up the side of the mountain?
It was not fun at all, actually. No, it was kind of sketchy. But, it was just one of the very experiences with a radio station that you don't really get. I mean, we used to have to take meter readings and all the stuff for the Federal Communications Commission. That's all been downplayed now. You actually had to be licensed. You couldn't just literally throw a switch and go, boop, here I am. You know, you had to actually be trained. And the engineering stuff and taking all these readings, and I don't even know what half of it meant, but I knew I had to do it. Yeah, so it was fun.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and we don't do that now.
No?
No.
Yeah, it's so different nowadays. The dichotomy between everything, how information just right there, and the snap of a finger.
But is it all true information?
That is another interesting question. You work working in radio, and there's been fake news scares and stories. Like, what's your experience so far, since you're probably at the front line?
Well, I do a lot of vetting of stories, and especially with the Good Morning Orlando, it's more of a conservative radio station. Mm-hmm. So I try to make sure that there's liberal perspective and that it's all very one-sided. So a lot of times stories are fake that come down. And like this morning with that Colin Kaepernick and his stupid, I don't want the Betsy Ross flag on the Nike bolt bent over like a Thai boy. Did I say that? Anyway, excuse me. Point is with that, someone called up and said, you know, I hear Nike's not going to be putting white shoes out anymore. I'm like, what? What do you mean white shoe? No, you know, white shoes are white heels. So they're not going to make them anymore. It's racist. I'm like, let me look into this. So, yes, I look into it, and it's not true, okay, at all. But it's kind of funny, but because people actually believe that crap. They're calling me, and I'm like, hey, Melissa, I heard. And they're not, you know, it's not a yanking chain situation. These people believe that. And a lot of times I have to actually do the math right there and go, no, that's, please. Because I feel like I'm doing a service for the world at this point. I'm like, yeah. Must straighten out each idiot one at a time. You know, because people will believe that. If and, you know, here's this guy, he's telling me, and then if I didn't correct him, then he'd go and tell 20 other people, and next thing you know, it's a thing. Yeah. Oh, my God, Nike's not going to make white shoes because it's racist. No, you jerk.
Yeah, that's a really good service that you're doing, actually. I believe that you have to vet information, especially nowadays, and correcting people isn't wrong at all, what I believe. And what was the hardest, you know, story you've ever had to vet? Like, you know, because there's certain ones that sound very true.
Well, lately, especially and Boris was, our buddy was asking me earlier about this because he thinks I'm a huge Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Because this is what I kind of have to put out there in order to, you know, and again, that's the type of radio station we're at. We're conservative.
Right.
But I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm presenting everything. But one of the biggest things that always gets me is grab her by the pussy. Okay? Comment? Comment. It was a comment. He didn't actually grab anybody by the pussy. Do you understand that? I feel like I have to correct that 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me say, Chris, locker room talk is locker room talk. I've said dirtier things in my time than that crap.
Yeah.
All right. Hold it against me. All right. I just sat here and told you about a lady who farted and then pulled a knife on somebody. We have talked about throwing bologna at chicks' butts.
Yes, we have.
What is the damn difference? Really? What's the difference? But everybody that I, you know, that I have to correct, I'm like, look, it's something. You're sitting there with the guys, you're talking. I mean, girls, we sit there, we talk about guys' packages and stuff. What's the big freaking deal? So I find myself correcting a lot of that lately. And again, I'm not a staunch reporter or staunch supporter of him. I'm a reporter. I'm not an analyst, which is what everybody seems to be nowadays. Nobody reports the news, not very many. You don't have your Walter Cronkites, okay? And that's the way it was or is or whatever. Now you have people who insinuate themselves – their feelings, their thoughts into the news. That's not what I do. It's never what I've done. I just want to tell you fact-based, here's what happened, here's who did it, and here's where we go from here.
Right.
Not, here's what happened, here's what I think should have happened, here's what my friend's opinion is, and it blurs the line of news.
Right.
It's not news anymore. Now it's an analysis.
So is that's the difference with an analyst and a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the analyst really just analyzes from their perspective.
Mm-hmm. Or insinuates their opinions into the story themselves. You see it all the time on the nightly news. Wow, that's really bad. That's an insinuation. You have down put your feeling into a news story that should just be lay there. It should just be popped out there, and then the information's given, and people digest it how they want to.
Yeah.
Not, oh, well, here's what Vanessa said, so it must be true. Or here's how Melissa feels. No, it's not how Melissa feels. This is the way it is. The guy went to the DMZ. He crossed over into North Korea. Never happened before. Those are cut and dry facts.
Yeah.
When you start saying, well, if this had and he had duty, la, 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 then you're putting your thoughts and your feelings into it. It's not news anymore. Now it's a story.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
An analysis, like
exactly.
You say.
Exactly. And so sports is to be analyzed, not reported. Okay, you can report scores, but you analyze a game.
Yeah.
This happened, that happened. Here's what I think should have happened. You could have done this. Sports, you analyze. News, you don't, oh, well, the bad guy went into the bank, but he probably had this on his mind, and that's why he did that. No.
He did the crime.
So that ain't my job.
Yeah.
Yeah. My job, though, is to help people to find the proper answers and to stop perpetuating the bullshit.
And that's a wonderful job, I would say. And
it's a tough job, Chris.
Don't take it on, dude.
Don't do it.
No, I wouldn't want to. I mean, you being the front lines of it all and just having to deal with that on a daily basis is incredible, you know. And we're coming up to the end of the show now.
We're almost done?
Yes,
oh, that's
we are.
Awesome. It goes so fast, Chris, talking to you.
I know.
It's like sex. It's over before I knew it.
I know. I'm so sorry. I mean, it's short and sweet.
Can I get a tissue?
I know. Now, is there anything else you want to add, promote, before we sign off?
No, I think I've hit the news thing with Melissa Fox, the Connection Show. Those are all on iHeart. You just search those. Anything else is going on, you can listen to me every morning, Monday through Friday, as part of the Good Morning Orlando team on WFLA Orlando. And other than that, just, you know, be kind to your pets, okay? That's all I have to say. Love your animals.
And always spay and neuter them.
Please.
Yes,
please.
Indeed.
Control your pets.
Yes, indeed. Thank you all. This has been another experience with Chris Fio and Melissa Fox. Thank you for being on.
Thanks, man. Love you. I mean it.
Love you, too.
But right now I know there's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me.
The Experience with Chris Fio is produced by Boris Douglas Garbe and Kai Legal. It is a joint production of Borma, Vonti, and PFT Media. The theme song is You and Me by NWAR Superstar.
A PFT Media production.